The tradition of Festivus begins with the airing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people. Now, you're going to hear about it.
Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of Airing of Grievances. I'm your host, Jay. I'm here with my co-host, Micah.
Hey.
All right, so we are back. This episode, this is actually technically a two-part episode that we're going to just slam into one episode, and this is entitled The Boyfriend, Part 1 and 2. So this one is it's about a lot of things, but basically Jerry meets one of his baseball idols, New York Mets baseball player Keith Hernandez, who's actually plays himself in the show. And there's a scenario where they become sort of pseudo friends, and meanwhile George is on unemployment, and he's trying to get a 13-week extension by pretending that he applied for a job at Vandalay Industries. Meanwhile, there's an ongoing situation with this theory that Keith Hernandez actually spit on Kramer and Newman at a baseball game back in the 80s. So, Michael, what did you think of these episodes?
Well, I think Keith Hernandez is a bit of a tool. This episode is another like great one because of the whole JFK Magic Loogie parody, which is a scene from Oliver Stone's JFK film.
Which is ridiculous, by the way.
But that scene, like that scene is one of those scenes that you remember from Seinfeld. Like that is one magic loogie. Like that's a line that you don't forget if you're a Seinfeld fan.
No, you don't. And yeah, I mean, even the Wikipedia entry for this episode even mentions the, what do they call it? The pastiche of a JFK film. So, yeah. You know, like it's obviously a big, you know, it's obviously this big deal, and it resembles the Zapruder film from JFK and all this other stuff. So, yeah, look, it's very smartly written, you know, no doubt about it.
You know, the reason this is a two-parter is because Seinfeld and Larry David, they wrote a 45-minute script and they didn't want to cut any of it. So they were just like, all right, well, two-parter.
Oh, well, you know, like when I watched it, because I watch them generally on Hulu, excuse me, and when I watch it, they just have it as one episode. And it
yeah, that's how it is on the DVD also.
Oh, is it? Okay. Like,
yeah, it's just
so,
a straight episode.
Yeah, so it flows completely normal. Like, I couldn't tell where the break was.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, I'm sure it's at the commercial break, but it seemed to flow just perfectly fine, like, with no issues at all. So the episode starts out with Jerry and George. They are in, they're at the gym. They're at the Y, and they see Keith Hernandez, and they're like, oh, shit, look at this guy. Holy shit, it's Keith Hernandez. And Keith Hernandez, they basically have this exchange, George and Jerry do, have this exchange of, like, why would he want to talk to you? You're just some jerk telling jokes. He's Keith Hernandez, and which is kind of funny. And then Keith Hernandez actually comes up to them, and he's like, hey, excuse me, are you Jerry Seinfeld? I love your comedy. Like, do you want to, like, basically, like, do you want to get lunch sometime or something like that? Or, like, do you do shows in the area and stuff like that? So it was just kind of funny that, you know, that happens. You know, it's like the exact opposite of basically what he was saying.
You ever get starstruck like that and meet somebody, you know, anywhere like Jerry? Jerry, like, idolizes Keith Hernandez, right? Like, he's got a man crush on him.
Right.
You ever meet somebody like that?
No, I don't think so. Not now that I'm thinking about it. No, I mean, I can think of one person that I probably would be like that with who also works in this same industry that I idolize in a lot of ways. I'm sure you could think of who it is. Mm-hmm. Like if I met him, I would be like, whoa, like that would be a really big deal for me. I'd be like, holy shit. Like we should just like get a beer and talk because you're amazing, you know, but In my personal experience so far, no, I don't think so. I think I would just, I've certainly seen celebrities and I'm like, holy shit, it's Nathan Fillion. Like I saw him once and that was kind of cool.
but you saw him like
briefly.
You saw him at a place where you probably would expect to see him, right?
Right. It's not a surprise to see Nathan Fillion at a Comic-Con.
You know? Like, I was working at, I met a few.
You've met a lot of, like, ball players, though. Like,
yeah,
football players.
Yeah. And I used to work at Target doing security. And I you know this story, and I'll tell it again because I think it's funny. I met Ray Lewis once.
Oh. and he murdered
was,
a guy.
This was post-stabbing, you know, like right, you know, after he had a guy stabbed.
So he was like on top of the world, really.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That guy felt invincible, right? So I'm standing there at the door. You know, I was one of those dorks who had to stand at the door and stop people from stealing from Target. And Ray Lewis walks in, and he's dressed like Ray Lewis dresses, right? Like really sharp, you know. It was chilly out, so he had like a long.
Did he have a mink on?
He didn't. Oh, thank God. He had a London fog.
Look, I need ball players to don't do that. You look obnoxious. Anyway, sorry.
But he had his car parked in the middle of the crosswalk. Like, so there's a big crosswalk whenever you go into a Target. There's a big crosswalk that connects the parking lot to the pavement.
So the parking equivalent of a mink coat, I see.
Yeah. And he came in. And he was doing like the fast walk. He was doing the power walk because he wanted to go in and get a DVD and roll out, right? But you're Ray Lewis, right? You're not very tall, but you are like a giant square, like walking around. Like he's built like a brick wall, right? Like he's just wide. He's short and wide. And he's power walking to the back, and people are seeing him, right? And this one guy does what you probably shouldn't do if you have kids. So he goes over and he tells his kid, hey, that's Ray Lewis. Go get his autograph for me. Right? Because he's too much of a bitch to get the autograph himself.
Yeah, what kind of parent are you? Why don't you just go get it yourself? You can just go up to... I don't get it.
Fucking terrible parent is what he is. But anyway, yeah, so he tells the kid, you know, go get his autograph. And the kid goes over and Ray Lewis is moving like the juggernaut, right? Like he can't be stopped. And the kid comes over to him, this adorable little white kid with like a mop head. And he holds his pad and his pen up and he says, "Excuse me." And Ray Lewis fucking takes his big ass hand, mushes the kid out of the way and is like, "Sorry, kid, I gotta go." I'm like, yo, what kind of bullshit is this?
Wow, really? Come on, Ray.
So baseball players go up to comedians and say, "Hey, I'm really a big fan of your comedy." And football players just mush kids' faces. Like, get the fuck out of my way. I gotta go buy this DVD.
Yeah, like that's the thing he had to do just then. That's really hilarious.
Oh, shit.
So outside of that story, have you been sort of starstruck by anybody you've met?
One time I was a little starstruck, and I'm kind of ashamed to say it, but I kind of was a little starstruck. I met another Raven.
I hope it's who I think it is.
I was at GameStop.
Yes, it is.
And apparently this guy called and he said, "Hey, do you have this copy of this, you know, college basketball game from 3 years ago?" And the manager was like, "Yeah, we got it. Come on down and get it. You know, me or the other guy will come in or help you." Right. So I'm walking around, you know, doing whatever. And suddenly the glass door is eclipsed, right? I see what could possibly be, like, if I didn't have really good vision, I would not be wrong in assuming that this is Gorilla Grodd coming in to fucking take out the Flash. You know what I'm saying?
That's rude.
It's a fucking giant. And the giant comes into the door and holy shit, it's Terrell Suggs, right? And I'm like, holy shit, like, that's Terrell Suggs. Like, that's like really Terrell Suggs. And he's like, hey, what's up, man? How you doing? I called here earlier. I'm like,
at any first, point, did you think it was the mayor of Baltimore?
Yeah. Oh, by that time, she had embezzled so much money that she finally got all that plastic surgery done.
Oh, good for her.
I've met her on a couple of occasions, too. She's not a very nice lady. But, yeah, he's like, yeah, I called about this basketball game. I'm like, holy shit. Like, Terrell, on the one hand, holy shit, here's Terrell Suggs, and I'm interacting with him, right? And on the other hand, like, nigga, why are you buying a used college basketball game from 3 years ago?
But yeah, that seems a little odd.
Right. But you know what? I ain't going to tell it to him because that guy can, that guy looks like a monkey. Like, he can rip me in half.
He has a simian way about him, yes.
Yeah, he's very much so.
And he would also probably just hold you down and pour bleach on your head. I hear that's something he likes to do.
Because he did that to a woman.
Because he's God a criminal. Damn it. Every player on the Ravens has a criminal background. A significant criminal background.
Yep. But, you know, I was like, holy shit. So that was the first time I was a little starstruck. I was like, oh, wow, man. Like, this is, like, holy shit. Like, this is, like, one of the Ravens. Like, and this is when the Ravens
Yeah, that's
were,
a big deal. I mean, I, in fairness, know, that's a big deal.
Yeah, man. I was like, oh, shit. Like, this is what this feels like. Like, because I pride myself on being dead inside. I've said this before.
Right.
You know, and you're good at it. You're very good at it. If you don't have emotion, you know, you can't get attached to anything. So it's easier to separate it. It's easier to be me and not give a shit about anybody than it is to care about something and then have it leave. You know what I mean? But yeah, yeah. All the other celebrities I've met, you know, through GameStop didn't affect me like that. So I was like, so that's why it felt weird. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear you. I'm trying to think of if there are any other ones I've met. Like, I've just met, like, this guy was in a show. Like, I met a guy from The Wire at one point. I was at a restaurant. I met Sonia San from The Wire once. I was in Whole Foods. And I said hello to her, and that was nice because I didn't hold her up like the old white couple did for 45 minutes before that. But the truth be told, I couldn't remember her real name. So while they were holding her up, I Googled Kima from The Wire so I could make sure I knew her name.
I was about to say, yeah, something tells me you didn't, because as soon as you said that, I'm like, Sonia, so who?
Yeah. The woman who Samuel Jackson said it was his duty to please that booty in Shaft 2000. And she also goes to my gym occasionally, which is kind of funny too. But I don't talk to her there because that would be weird and uncomfortable.
Yeah, don't talk to women at the gym, guys.
Not ever.
They don't need your help. Ever. This one dude, all right, tangent time. I was at the gym in Silver Spring and I like to go to the Silver Spring one, even though it's not the closest one to me, because there's better like eye candy all around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this one woman, super fine, right? Super fine, super fit, looked like a model, right? Like a fitness model. And she's over there doing deadlifts.
I'm already a fan.
And here comes this fucking like Ernie Hudson circa 1988 looking dude with a high top fade. Like this guy.
Oh my God.
This guy looks so generic black. He looks like he could be a news anchor. Like that's how generic black this guy looks, right? Like, cause he's got that stupid, like he's got that mustache.
Ugh.
And he's got like a, like the old, remember old Steve Harvey? Like when he had that high top fade or whatever.
Yeah, he was very generic black.
Yeah, he's very generic black. Like, he looks like he's getting ready to throw it to the sports guy, right? So he's over there talking to this woman. He's like, oh, so, what you lifting? And she couldn't be, like, she's focused, right?
She couldn't be any more disinterested.
Right. And it's like, and I'm like, nigga, what are you doing? Like, she obviously, well, you know, you need some help with that, man? No. Yeah, like, of course she doesn't, dude. You see her lifting the shit. Like, if that's the type of game you got, you need to take your old ass back to some fucking 18 and over club, bruh. Fuck out of here. Don't talk to women at gyms. They ain't here for you.
No, they're not. Obviously, the correct answer is to ogle them through three mirrors or more.
There you go.
Fucking register
that shit in your spank bank, guys.
Yeah, that's it. That's all you do. Like, wow, that chick's hot. And then just move on. Don't talk to them. Don't talk to them. And if you're in a relationship and they talk to you, run away. Just run away. Just turn around and run away. No, it's really quite funny because, and staying on this tangent for a second, then we'll get back. So I was at the gym the other day, and I go early in the morning, right? So there's virtually no, like the gym opens at 5:30. I am there at 5:30, and so there's not a lot of people there, obviously, because they're sane and they're asleep. But there are a couple people who are there all the time, right? Like there's like in the weight area, it's the same like me and like five other dudes, right? Four or five other guys. And so, you know, you give them the black dude head nod, right? No one ever talks to each other except for the guys who like sort of come with each other, right? So it's a couple of guys I've known for a number of years there. And so this woman comes in, and the women who do use the weight area in the morning, the few that do on occasion, are, you know, they're like, it's the Y. So they're like middle-aged women, in like okay shape, you know, there's nothing, or people who are like trying to work it out, trying to get in shape, right? Totally makes sense. Nothing to write home about. And so this woman comes in and she's got to be like early to mid 30s, super fit, like she definitely competes, or she could if she wanted to. Like, yeah, she did. Like, she looks the same way, like kind of like a fitness model. And she's like, she's a knockout. Like, her body is ridiculous. Right. And like, no guys went and talked to her, so I give them credit for that. But every guy, it was like, I love like these sort of like sociology moments. Like, every guy was getting a little bit like pumped up. Like, it's such a caveman moment. It was kind of hilarious. Everybody's like this one guy, like I'm doing dumbbell curls or something. I don't even remember, but like he sort of stands in front of me in the mirror and starts doing like real heavy shrugs. I'm like, dude, I mean, like, she's hot. Like, don't get me wrong, but like, I'm married. Like, I'm not really, you know, I registered in my mind and then I like moved on. But like, dude is like, starts doing shrugs or whatever. Like,
those grunting hard.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, I was like, dude, all right. Like, just calm down. And like, you know, like, you start seeing like dude just like slapping on extra plates on the leg press. I'm like, oh, all right. Like, right. It was just
calm down.
Just calm down. It was just hilarious. But it was just one of those things where it just goes to show you, like, guys are cavemen, dude. Like, we are, man. We are. Yeah, like,
women are crazy and guys are stupid.
Yeah, like, we are. Like, hey, could I injure myself by lifting this weight that I really don't normally do? Absolutely. Will I do it anyway to hopefully somehow weirdly impress this woman I don't know? Yes. It's just, you guys are dumb. Like, we're just dumb. So, out of the tangent, back into this. So, Keith Hernandez and Jerry exchange numbers, and it's a very, like, kind of like a relationship, kind of like Jerry picking up this woman, or this woman picking up Jerry. Or this man picking up Jerry, because Jerry's sort of the woman in this relationship.
Yeah.
And so then it cuts to George is in a cab, and he goes to the unemployment office to get this 13-week extension. And the woman's like, you know, where have you been interviewing? He's like, oh, yeah, I've been interviewing at this place, Vandalay Industries. excuse me. And they were thinking about hiring me for a sales position. And she's like, well, what do they do? And she's like, oh, they're a latex company. So she's like, okay, give me their address and phone number. So he gives him the address and phone number of Jerry's apartment. She's like, I'm going to call them right after I'm done with you. So George immediately runs out and he calls Jerry's apartment, or he calls Jerry's apartment. Kramer's on the phone, hangs up on him. He's like, oh, I'm doing something. I'm busy. Get out of here. You know, basically. So George then takes a cab and he's trying to get to Jerry's apartment before this woman calls. And he gets into a fight with the cab driver and all this other shit. But luckily the woman hasn't called yet by the time he makes it to Jerry's apartment. But before George gets there, he's telling Elaine about how he met Keith Hernandez and it was so amazing. And Kramer and Newman come in and they're like, basically, fuck Keith Hernandez. He's the worst. He spit on us after this baseball game, and then they proceed to tell the basically JFK esque story about how he spit on Kramer and it ricocheted off and hit Newman and all this other stuff. And Jerry explains how he thinks it's a magic loogie theory and that there must be a second spitter on the grassy knoll, basically, which the sequence is very funny. And so it does sort of a flashback to this like Zapruder film style telling of this story. And they're being utterly ridiculous.
Very clever, man. Very clever to take something that's like in the pop culture consciousness like that and just adapt it to something incredibly silly.
Yeah. I mean, it's a serious thing. The president was murdered. Like, that's a really super serious thing. But yeah, they work it and it doesn't feel inappropriate at all. It just totally works. So George finally gets there and he's all disheveled. And he's like, look, you got to tell him it's Vandalay Industries and you're trying to hire me for a latex salesman and all this other stuff. And they're just like, okay. Like, and Jerry's being a dick about it. Like, why would I hire you? You don't seem right for the job. Like, dude, it's not real. Fuck off. And then Jerry goes on this date with Keith Hernandez and like they have the sit in the car conversation, like as if Jerry was a woman, like that's when they would make out and all this other nonsense. And then this is basically the end of part one because Keith asked Jerry, like, oh, what's up with your friend Elaine? I'd like to take her out on a date. And he's like, oh, all right, I'll set you guys up.
The okay. My fiance, when we were the first time we were together, was the first date that I had been on. Not the first like
ever, date,
but the first woman that I'd been with since my first engagement.
Right.
Broke up, and it was the third date, and I remember us sitting in a car, and she, you know, we were sitting in the car, and I'm like, okay, you know, and I remember having this conversation in my head.
Yeah, absolutely.
And she was, and finally she was just like, can I ask you a question? Like, sure.
As you're staring off. She's
like, yeah, as I was fucking staring off. And she was like, why haven't you kissed me yet? I'm like, oh, you know, I didn't want to move too fast. It was the one time in our relationship that I've felt like a total, complete and utter, like, boob. Like, just a wimp, man. And she was like, no, like, it's okay. Like, I was like, oh, well, you know, okay. All right. Like, here we go.
Here we go.
So yeah.
I like how she straight called you out. Like, why haven't you done it yet? What? Okay. Hell yeah, let's do this. That's fucking hilarious. Yeah, like I certainly have not told the story of my first date with my wife on the show, which I'll have to figure out which episode it fits into because it's kind of like one of those get a load of this guy kind of things. Like, and that's not of me. That's of someone else in the story, which is kind of funny. But yeah, I mean, like the first time, like I kissed my wife or whatever. I don't remember what we were talking about on the date, but it was like, I had like a clear signal. And I remember it must be a line from a movie because that's the only way it would have seeped into my head because I watched so much fucking movie and TV. Like, I literally said, like, I said something like, oh, you know, you look so nice, blah, 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 you know, fucking like asshole nonsense. And then I was like, and I said it like super like confident, like, you know, because I thought I think I was like slightly drunk. You know, I had been like, we had been at a wine bar or whatever because we're bougie. And
yep.
mean, hello. And I was like, I'm gonna kiss you right now. And she was like, okay. And I was like, all right. And I did. And I was like, you know, I, like, in my mind I was like, that was some James Bond shit. That was like some baller ass shit. And it worked out. It totally worked out. It was great.
You know, if it was James Bond-esque, like, the woman would be like, no, and then he would be like, yeah, and then she would be like, no, and then he would be like, yeah, and she would be like, no, and he would be like, we're fucking doing this.
And then
like,
they would
all right, well.
I like a man with it. Passion. Yeah,
that's right. 50 Bond, no's and a yes.
Yeah, because
still a yes.
Still a yes. Guys, that's rape. Don't do that. Yeah, that's not a good thing. So, no, so cut back to, Jerry has, or Elaine has gone out on a date with Keith and she comes in and she's like, oh, I'm going out with Keith. And George is like, Keith Hernandez? And she's like, yeah. He goes, that guy really gets around. Basically, like, sort of like a joke in implication of like he's dating Jerry and her, which is kind of funny.
Yeah.
And so you come to find out that Keith Hernandez is making a date. He's changing the date of when he goes out with Elaine to Friday night, which is where he was supposed to hang out with Jerry. So he's going to cancel on Jerry, and Jerry gets like super jealous, which is just hilarious. Then there's a phone call from the woman at the unemployment office, and George is in the bathroom, and Jerry picks up the phone, or excuse me, Kramer picks up the phone. He's like, Vandalay Industries. No, you're way off. Like, no, like get out of here. Like, no, that's not a thing. And George comes rushing out and falls on the ground with his pants around his ankles, screaming, Vandalay Industries. And then, of course, that's like a classic, iconic moment.
The line, and you want to be my latex salesman,
yeah,
was ad-libbed by Jerry.
Oh, really? That's pretty good. It's a pretty good line. Yeah, George, excuse me, George coming out of that bathroom with his pants around his ankles is fucking hilarious. He's so mad.
I'm trying to think if I would have the balls to do that, you know?
Yeah, you're in this situation right now.
Unfortunately, I am the George in this friendship right now. And yeah, I wonder if I would have the balls to be like, oh yeah, or the cunning or the quick wit or the stupidity to whatever you want to call it to be like, yeah, I talked to
I don't think
from Vandalay Industries and then gave him your number.
Yeah, look, I could do it. But it would have to be like, it would have to be elaborate. Like, I don't believe in, like, if you're going to lie.
Oh, yeah. You got to live a lie.
You got to live the lie. It's not a lie, Micah, if you believe it. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of like that. Like, I believe, like, if I'm going to do this lie, I'm going to talk to you ahead of time. I'm going to make sure that we're set. I'm going to make sure that there's no way this gets fucked up.
Right.
Like, yeah, I'm not going to entrust that lie to, you know, just anybody. You know
what
I mean?
It's quite frankly, it's the only time guys really plan things.
Yeah, it's a lie.
Is if it's like some big elaborate lie, like not a hoax, not anything good.
Well, that's not true. I mean, I planned out your bachelor party, which is coming up this weekend. You have no idea what we're doing.
As far as I know, you're lying.
Yeah, that's true. It'd be like we're going to Applebee's. Yeah. Yeah, like, and that's not even a lie. Like, I'm just not telling you.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. It's I think I could have the balls to do it, but it would have to be elaborate, man. It would have to be set up from the jump.
Yeah. Yeah. And then I would have to live it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you got to live it, man.
Like, I told this story about my college grades. Like, they still don't know. You know what I mean?
No,
like,
I don't think you told the story on the show.
Yeah, sure I did. I think I did.
Not on this show. Not on this one.
So I went to Morgan, and Morgan used to deliver your grades in the mail. And this was when Morgan was cheap. So they didn't have any paper that had like watermarking on it. It was just a regular 8.5 by 11 sheet of printer paper that they printed everything out on. And I didn't have the grades that I necessarily wanted. So I reproduced the document and doctored it up a little bit, you know, to make me look a little better. Did the math so that the GPA would come out properly. And for the next 5 years, I had to intercept the mail every semester in order to get the new grades that came in the mail and replace them with the old, with the ones that I doctored up. But they had finally like used official, you know, paper with Morgan's letterhead on it and things of that nature. But they never knew, because all they saw was this regular sheet of 8.5 by 11 printer paper. And like, see, that's so, what you got to do.
So man. Wait, hold. Did you keep doing that until you graduated?
Yes. Yeah. You have to live the lie, man.
Yeah, you live the lie, dude.
You have to, especially because, you know, if one person just is paying attention, like, it's over. It's over, Johnny. You got to live that lie, man.
Yeah, you're right. You got to live it. You're 100%
you're
gonna
lie,
right.
Especially with something like that.
I would have loved
parents. Like, you gotta go all the way through.
I like the idea. Not that you did this, but I like the idea of like you putting that like you got straight A's, and they think you're gonna graduate like magna cum laude. They're like, Micah Payne, basic degree. like,
right, Micah Payne, no superlatives.
Like, but you're doing so well. Yeah, the system is really rigged against black people. You go to an HBCU. Yeah, I know. It's rigged against black men. Like, it's, I don't know what it is. It's terrible. Yeah, so then George goes back to the unemployment office, and he sees a picture on the desk of the woman, and she's basically like her daughter. It's the woman's daughter, and she is not attractive. And he's like, oh my God, this woman is so breathtaking. Is this your daughter? Holy crap. Like, and then she's like, oh, did you know she's single? And he's like, stop teasing me. Don't you tease me. And George, look, George is a masterful liar, dude. He is a masterful liar.
Hey, he said that woman was attractive with a straight face.
Yeah.
And again, another joke you couldn't do nowadays.
I mean, he didn't say, like, I mean, he's also fat. He didn't say anything about it being
fat. You know what the implication is.
I feel like you can say people are ugly. I think that's still a thing. Look, I'll never let that go from my cold, dead hand. Will you liberals take away the fact that I can call someone ugly? Fuck you. Some people are ugly. Some people are skinny. Some people are fat. And some people are ugly. Some people are two out of those three. Then Kramer and Jerry end up going to this couple who used to live in their building. They were forced to go see their stupid new baby. And by the way, I thought this husband was fucking Phil Coulson from Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. at first. At first I was like, is that him? Because he was in a lot of shows. He was actually in a show with Julie Louise Dreyfus, the New Stories of Old Christine. He was on that show.
Oh yeah, I remember that show.
That was actually pretty good. I don't know why it got canceled. So anyway, they go over to see the baby. You have to come and see the baby. And they're just like, yeah, it's a baby. Great. Who gives a damn? And you know what? To their credit, I agree with you. I agree with you, Jerry. Look, babies aren't that interesting, guys.
Look, babies are cute and all, but you gotta give it a few months, man.
Yeah.
Because when they come out looking like aliens.
Yeah.
And they all come out looking the same. Like they're just, they look, they come out looking like raisins.
Yeah. They just are different shades of weird.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to give a baby a couple of months, man.
Yeah. Look, I have some friends, like, cause everybody's having kids now. And I've got some friends whose kids aren't very attractive. And I have some friends whose kids are pretty cute kids. I think it depends on what the parents look like. So, you know, there's that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
And sometimes, you know, sometimes you get lucky and you two trolls will bang and pop out a kid and they're like, oh shit. Like, are you sure this kid is yours?
Yeah.
Like, you didn't steal this one from from the nursery
from,
next to
from
it?
The fucking mall. No, I mean, like, I literally know two couples who have a kid, like, they had kids, like, within, you know, a week of each other, right? A week or two. Nah. One's super duper cute. One, nah, bruh. Nah. No, your kid is not attractive. Because both of your parents are fucking unattractive. Sorry, not sorry. And look, maybe that kid will grow into being an attractive, you know, an attractive person.
Nope.
Looking at their parents? Nah, bruh. They're not.
Yeah, I can't. I don't really see too many beautiful people with ugly parents. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm saying I haven't seen the shit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm messaging you right now, the person's name. And yeah, no. So you'll appreciate that when you see it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, now
I kind of had a feeling it was that person.
Yeah, okay. Like, I'm not being a dick. Well, I am being a dick, but like, so what? Like, sorry. I'm not going to say the person's name. But and please don't. But yeah, sorry. Your kid's kind of fucking funny looking, dude. Sorry about that.
Shit.
Yeah.
I mean, I haven't even seen the baby, but I've seen one of the parents, and yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So George goes out with this woman, and she's very homely. But you know what? Honestly, she kind of looks like George's speed. I mean, if I'm gonna be honest, she's kind of a short, squatty person, like New York Italian accent. I mean, yeah, she looks like his speed.
She kind of looks like someone who will be at the wedding, and I will point them out to you.
You won't have to point them out. I'll know. I hope she has the same accent.
She kind of does.
Do you want to come up?
It's not as sharp.
Oh my God. Do you want to come up to my apartment? No, I don't. So then Keith Hernandez calls Jerry and he's like, hey, why don't you help me move?
Nigga, no.
No. No. You know, you are the literally, you or any of the guys in the network. And, you know, and Carrie are the only people who I would help move. I'm not helping anyone else move.
Yeah. And when I actually needed you to help me move,
I was out of town.
Didn't. Yeah. Yeah. A likely story.
I literally was out of town.
Thank you, Terrence, for helping me move.
Look how you had no other people to help you. look at the friendships you've created. Like, you guys are the only people I would help. I mean, shit, Jack came over and helped me move a piano once. So, I mean, I definitely owe him one. But in fairness, I gave him a bottle of liquor. So.
Oh, well, see, that's why you called Jack over.
Yeah. I mean, that's an easy,
pay him off with booze.
Yeah, that's an easy payment. Hey, Jack, we've got Jack Daniels over. I'm on my way. What do you need? Like, don't even ask. Yeah, so, I mean, that actually is a funny, there's a little funny aside. Jack and his other friend, who was clearly high at the time, came over to help me move this piano off of a truck into my house. And when they got here, like, his friend is like kind of a skinny guy, and pianos are really fucking heavy, like hundreds of pounds, you know, like 900 pounds, 800 pounds. Like, they're crazy, crazy heavy. So we're lifting in the back end, and his friend was supposed to lift in the front end. And we're like, all right, you know, Jamal, he's black. And I don't know his name. And he was like, we're like, all right, dude, lift your hand. And he's like, dude, I am lifting. Like, it wasn't going out the ground at all. It was fucking hilarious. Like, muscle up, Jamal. Let's get it moving, man. It's like, I'm trying my skinny little arms. But yeah, that was an ordeal. So we just put it into our garage because we couldn't even get it into our house. So, and that's where it stays until we redo it. So then we cut to a scene of Keith Hernandez and Elaine on a date. And Keith is like making all these baseball metaphors, how he's basically going to bang Elaine. And she's like, the third base coach ain't waving you in, buddy. which I guess she's sort of just joking, but it doesn't quite seem like she is.
Yeah, it really doesn't, man.
Like, no, she was kind of like, no, you're not sponge worthy. Spoiler
right,
alert.
Like, and he sounded kind of rapey.
Yeah, super like, rapey.
Yeah, super. I'm going to make it to second base around 6 o'clock tonight. Like, gross, dude.
Yeah, did not care for that at all. So then she finds out Keith smokes. And she's like, nah, bro, I'm out. Go fuck yourself. Then you also come to find out that that woman's daughter, she liked George. And then on the second date, she fucking breaks up with him, which was awesome. And then Keith Hernandez comes over to pick up Jerry so they could go move a bunch of really nice furniture. And Jerry says he can't do it. And Kramer and Newman come in and they're like, Keith Hernandez, you son of a bitch, you spit on us. And then he explains that it wasn't him, it was this other guy. And then you find out it was in fact a second spitter from the grassy knoll. any last words on this episode?
No, pretty funny. Keith Hernandez is a dick,
a little rapey guys.
Yeah, Keith Hernandez is a rapist. I'm looking at Keith Hernandez on Wikipedia and he looks incredibly odd without his mustache.
Oof.
But yeah, good show. Good show.
All right. That's it for this week of Airing of Grievances. We will see you guys next week.
See ya.
Bye.
Really?